This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry. Have you ever wondered why there is so much suffering in the world? Well, if God can take away our pain, why doesn't He do so? These are tough questions, and we're going to use Scripture to tackle them in today's message. So please stay with us.
One of the great gospel hymns of our day is entitled, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. And that is my sermon theme for this day. Shall we unite our hearts in prayer? Lord Jesus, we come into your holy presence today, thanking you that life is often not easy. And many of those difficulties that have to be faced are faced. But we thank you that you have given us a promise today that as we are tempted, so you have been tempted, and you continue to walk with us through the good days and the bad days. And so we pray in a very special way that your presence may be felt with those who are sick, the sorrowing, the suffering, and the dying. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ. Sermons are born in many parts of the world and are finished in pastors' studies, where they are surrounded by books and quietness. This particular sermon that I preach today was born in my bedroom, sometime between 2 and 5 o'clock in the morning. and I was really hurting. I was learning that 88-year-old lakes aren't what they used to be. Actually, they wear out. Oh, there are good medicines that we can use, and they work for a while, but then they are ineffective. And we even have some surgeries and transplants and whatever it may be. And the people do go on for many, many years. But it is a fact that anything that is created like this, that is a part of this world, wears out. I remember one day that I was visiting with a good friend and a member of our congregation who was facing a terminal illness. As we stood there, he was pretty quiet, solemn, a little bit glum. And he looked at me and he said, "It isn't fair." And I asked him, "What do you mean by that? You are healthy and well and have a life ahead of you. I am just a couple of years older, but I'm going to die. Why is that? That you live and I die?" I was really happy, in retrospect, especially that he had presented that problem to me. Or it was a problem to him. In fact, it was a problem to me too. I couldn't give him an answer. I said, "I am not a holy man who has caused no sin, and you are a wretched man. We are sinners saved by God's grace alone. But I have the way spelled out for me in Holy Scripture that tells us that it is not fair." I was happy he could get out his feelings. And afterwards he apologized to me. "I don't want you to die, but I don't want to die either." And so I said to him, "How I hate to leave this room and not be able to cure you. What a great thing that would be. But that is not the way that our Lord Jesus Christ has planned it." And I began to read to him a passage that is found in the second chapter of Hebrews. Let me read it to you. "Since the children have flesh and blood," that is, we have flesh and blood, "Jesus too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in services of God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." And that was my answer to my friend. I can't tell you why that I am spared, at least for the present time, and you have to go on. But I am thankful that I can say to you that you're going into the arms of Jesus, and because of his grace and because of your faith in him, you will live with him forever. That I can tell you for sure, because it is written in Holy Scripture, and this is the answer. But besides that, there can be a number of years before we get to that day when we're with our Heavenly Father. Remember what he said? He said in that passage of Scripture that I read to you, that when he came to this world, he put on a body. And that body was tempted. For example, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That body was hurt when they nailed his hands to the cross. That body, friend, was going to depart this world and lie in the grave. But that body on the third day was going to rise again. And now he is the resurrected Christ. And now he has given me a new promise. I know what you're going through. I have gone through this myself. But I also want you to know that I stand and walk and comfort and do everything necessary for you to victoriously come through the other end until I can gather you into my heavenly home. So there he stands. He has gone through that suffering. He knows the hurts. That great passage of Scripture where he looked out over the city of Jerusalem, he would love to have given them the gospel, but they would not listen to him. They would not receive him as a Savior. And listen to those hurting words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How I would love to have gathered you under my arms like a hen gathered her chicks. But you would not. And that has been repeated over and over again. How he has said to this world, how I would love to have gathered you, but you wouldn't. You just wouldn't. You're going to go at your own way until you sweat out those tough days with no one to be with you because you had rejected Christ, and then you faced a Christless death. So once again this morning, he pleads with us. And he says it so very, very carefully that because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Sure, we can be tempted. Of course, it is not easy at times. We take a look at the great Apostle Paul. Paul was a man who had been really converted. And he had experienced that Jesus Christ walked with him. But like us, even though we have experienced that and know that, nevertheless, there are those times when we just wonder. We just wonder what it's all about. So Paul said to God in his prayer life, I have a thorn in the flesh. That was something that, in some ways, made him less of a physical being to serve the Lord because he couldn't do some of the things that he did not have the capacity. Now, some say that they believe that this was a shortage of sight, vision, that when Paul was thrown to the ground on the day of his conversion, there was a bright light that shone down. And from that day on, he did not have good vision. Others have declared it was something else, even epilepsy or whatever it may be. Paul does not identify that specifically, but he simply calls it a thorn in the flesh. But what did he have? He had the promise that God would be with him no matter what happened. And so in his letter to the Corinthians, he said, I have a thorn in the flesh. Will you not take it away from me? Then I can be an even better servant of yours. And the Lord answered, and that answer is very, very necessary for us to know today. Paul, you live with your thorn in the flesh. And my grace is sufficient for you. No one ever cared for Paul like Jesus. And he knew that. And so when he was visited in Jerusalem and lay there in his dungeon cell, how he would like to have been able to get out of that cell and go rushing to other congregations that he had started. Start some more. Why don't you want it that way? But Jesus continues to say, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And so there under Nero, that man, that great man of the kingdom, continued for a long time to be a servant of the Lord Jesus. You know, friend, when we look at it, life is really too difficult to try to go it alone. And so we fall. And we get into bitterness, get into anger. This is a great place for those of us who know Jesus and know what he has done for us to share our faith with those who really are hurting. And they are angry. Why didn't my children turn out well? We brought them to church. We took them to Sunday school. Not every day, but many days in the course of a month. We had Bible reading and prayer in our home. That was sometimes hard to do when you had to work through a busy schedule in our community and in our schools. But we made it. And now look. Look at them. They're even out of the church. Seldom do they come and worship. Why? And one day, one of our sons said to his father, Dad, I had enough of that when I was in church. Every Sunday morning we had to get up and go. When it was a church service and some other activity in the community, we went to the church service. No, I'm not going to do that to my kids. I'm not going to make it that way. Was I wrong? The father said. And I told him I couldn't take each individual case like that and say right or wrong. There sometimes is wisdom in doing it the right way so that they do not become embittered. But no. No. You did right, and don't forget that those children of yours yet live, and God is yet living in their heart. And they are remembering that this is the way that it was in our home, and that is the stability that we have there. So who are we in any way to say that it was wrong? But that doesn't solve the problem unless we will open up our hearts and say, Lord Jesus, assist us, help us, for we know not what we sometimes do. Yeah. There is no one in all this world who knows us like the Lord Jesus. His disciples understood that. Many of those who have worked and lived and died and their names are before the general public know that was true. Dietrich Bonhoeffer knew that. There were those in Nazi Germany who must have looked and said, we have been faithful to our church, and now we sit in these godless concentration camps. Now we realize that the day will never come that we can enjoy the fatherland. They were concerned about the present. Why did God not take Hitler out of there earlier? Why did these poor, innocent people, as far as the things of the state were concerned, have to suffer as they did? But there were those. There was a man like Hans Lilja who could tell you that they were some very, very rough days. They were men like Martin Niemöller, could look into the face of his dictator leader and say to him, Hitler, the future of the German people is not in your hands. It is in the hands of Almighty God. And from that day on, until the war was over, Niemöller lived as a captain of the dictator. But he knew good and well that if he were there trusting Jesus, Jesus had gone with him to the concentration camp. You see, friend, we can think up one thing after another, and sometimes life is not very good. But Jesus is always with us. Just remember this, that when he came into this world, he took on a human body. There are no sufferings that you and I have gone through but what Jesus can understand. Take that seriously and listen now as this gospel song is sung. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. It is in his name that we make this prayer. Amen.
So strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me. And he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for. He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as thee.
Father in heaven, help us to understand that many of our frustrations can be taken care of if we will but throw our lives into the hands of Jesus. And so when we face our world today, follow it in the television and other places of the media, we know that there are things to worry about. We are things that are precious to us. A few dollars that we might have saved from hard work. And then we know that there is also that time when we see it taken away. We see that family that can be hurting. Lord, we know that Jesus walks with us. And that this is not just another saying, nor is it just another song. It is played out in the hearts and the lives of those who day by day grow as they live with Christ in His Word and let Him feed them. Bless us to that end. We ask it in Jesus' name, and hear us as we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that as you struggle through life's hardships, today's program will help remind you that Jesus Christ has suffered in your place and He is always with you. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will donations of our listening family. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift as part of your estate planning. For information on how to include Christian Crusaders in your will, call us toll-free at 1-888-693-2484. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, please call 277-0924. If you enjoyed today's message, we invite you to remember us with your prayers and gifts. By doing so, you're sharing in our mission to proclaim Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and personal Savior to all who receive Him. We are grateful for all those who share in the important work of this ministry. Thank you for worshiping with us today, and we pray that you'll join us next Sunday on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, speaker on Christian Crusaders for the past 51 years. Christian Crusaders is in its 77th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.